Yeah, hold it. Hare Krishna. Can you hear me? Yeah. Who's gonna read the verse and okay. Om Jnana Tiriyanasya Jnanjana Sarakaya Chakshurun Meditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tathaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Sarasati Devi Kauravani Sacharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pachatya Dasatarine Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sridhara Sadi Gauravachavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nayanam Namaskrita Nam Chaitanya Rotavam Devin Sarasati Nasam Tato Jaya Vinirajat Maka Karoti Vachala Pangulangayate Gering Yatkita Tavahag Mande Sri Guru Nityanam Paraman Mimarva Sri Chaitanya Ishmaru Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna.
So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5, Chapter 13, Rahugana converses with Jad Bharat, text 10. Karhi sma chit shudra rasan vichinvan tat makshikabi vyatita vimana tatra ati krichat Pratilabd Dhamana Balat Vilumpanti Ata tam tata anye karhi sma chit chudrara sanvichin vans tan vakshi kabir vyatito vimana tadrati kritchat prati labdamano Paladvilum pantyata tam tatonye Karhisma chit shudrara sanvichin vans Tanmakshika vira vyatito vimana Tatrati kritchad prati labdamano Balavilum pantyata tam tatonye. Sometimes Shudra, very insignificant. Rasan, sexual enjoyment. Vichinvan, searching for. Tat, of those women. Makshikabi, by honeybees. Or the husbands or family members. Vyatita, very much aggrieved. Vimana, insulted. Tatra, in that. Ati, very much. Kritchat, with difficulty, because of spending money. Pratilabdhamana, obtaining sexual enjoyment. Balat, by force. Bilampanti, kidnapped. Ata, thereafter. Tam, the object of sense enjoyment. The woman. Tata, from him. Anye, another debauchee. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Oh, yeah. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Please repeat. Sometimes in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Purport. In a great forest, honeycombs are very important. People often go there to collect honey from the combs, and sometimes the bees attack and punish them. In human society, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest material life simply for the honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women. Day after day, with great difficulty, they try to secure such women, and sometimes, while trying to taste this kind of honey, one is attacked by a woman's kinsmen and chastised very heavily. By bribing others, one may secure another woman for enjoyment, yet another debauchee may kidnap her or offer her something better. This woman hunting is going on in the forest and material world, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally. Consequently, in this Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees are forbidden to have illicit sex. Thus, they avoid so many difficulties. One should remain satisfied with one woman, being duly married. One can satisfy one's lusty desires with his wife without creating disturbance in society and being punished for doing so.
I don't touch that. This verse uses the example of a drone, right? This is the example of a drone. A drone means a male. Is it attacked by the other bees?
The bees using the other, so we're trying to get the honey from the honeycomb.
All right, okay. We heard from so many people we go to the Sundarbans, the forest in the south of Bengal and Bangladesh, that they go there to get the honey, and they're looking up in the trees where the honey hides, and they're going on a small boat in a little rivers, not rivers, but what are your creeks, like, and looking, they don't know that behind the bush there's waiting a tiger, and the tiger knows that the creek goes here, and he's waiting, and when the man comes close, he leaps, he crouches out like a cat crouches, he leaps, and these tigers are like 8 to 10 feet long, and they weigh like 600 to 800 kilos. Like a what's that? How many pounds? You can multiply 2.2. So they're huge, and one hit, it breaks the neck of the person, and they take them, eat them. So then all the villagers on that all
Gopal Vaiti, he was eaten by a tiger. This Vainath, Devanath, he was eaten by a tiger. But this is the danger of going after the honey. So this huge example, apart from being bitten by the bees, if you go in the center bones, you can eat like tigers. So it's very dangerous to go after the honey. There's a story that is told in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that when a carpenter, he was entering into the jungle, the Sundar bones again. That's where they have the tigers most. And one old carpenter saw him and said, "You see, if you go into the jungle to get wood, you should take with you a gun. There's just tigers." But the young carpenter, he said, "What should I need a gun for? I cut one branch, I'll wave it around my head, and a tiger will run away." Right? Good idea, right? So, you see, they go to the forest because there they get free wood. So, he's cutting away the wood. And a young tiger, only 6-7 feet big, you know, only 400 or 500 kilos, half a ton. Small, you know. He said, running over the field. He sees him running. He's cutting. Trying to get to the branch. But before he cuts the branch, the tiger grabs his leg. Starts eating him. He's finished. So then, another carpenter, a seeker, all eaten by tigers. So, then there was one devotee, a pure devotee. He went to that village, and he was preaching to all the people. They should chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He woke up very early in the morning, as you're all in the habit of doing. He woke up very early in the morning and he left into the forest. So the villagers thought, "Oh no, we didn't warn them, there's a tiger there. So we better go and save them." So they went with their guns and they went into the forest, followed his footsteps. Then they heard the sound, ching, 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 ching. The cartels. They looked, they opened the bushes, and they saw tigers and deers and all the animals chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. And they stopped. He doesn't need our protection. He's got all of these wild animals under control. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you understood the story? This is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's story. Every one of those persons is an allegory. Who was the young carpenter? Oh, raise your hand one time.
It was a person who's taking shelter of materialistic things. It's a person who's taking shelter of material things.
Yeah, he's a young devotee. The young devotee who is very proud of his advancement. Who is the old carpenter? Come on, you can get all the answers to Pranamana Swami. But he's a guru. He's a guru. He's guiding the young carpenter. Don't go there. There's danger. But the young carpenter is tossed up. He don't listen to the guru. He thinks, I'll protect myself. So who is the tigers and the wild animals? Yeah, it's like in this verse. The material desires, the lusty desires for sex life, or all kinds of lusty desires. So these, we think, I'll protect myself. I'll just, at the last minute, I'll protect. But we cannot protect like that. We protect if we chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Also, like Prabhupada gave in the verse that for those who have these desires very strong, they get married to one wife, one husband, whatever, and they stay satisfied with that. Now, ideally, one can control and be very regulated, but one time there was a devotee in Mayapur. He was caught going to the prostitutes. Unfortunately, in Mayapur, there are prostitutes. They see that Maya goes wherever there's some Krishna consciousness or so. He was caught. So the Prabhupada asked him, why do you go to the prostitute? You're married then. You have a wife. If you want sex life, you can approach your wife. He said, no, my wife, we are regularly to sex. So I was going to the prostitute because I need more. He said, see, going to a prostitute is sinful. Going to your wife, okay, maybe it's not regular, but it's not sinful. It's not like that kind of sinful. So, like this, I was personally present when Prabhupada was preaching like that. That if you're not able to fully follow, regularly, at least you stay with your wife, you stay with your husband, don't go out. And this verse talks about a man, he's not healthy with his wife, or not sufficiently healthy, he wants another woman. We heard that day. Now in India, in the Independence Day, that's what, August 26th or something? 15. Huh? August 15th. Okay. We had our Rath Yatra near London. One of the newspapers published a big article. Now India is liberated in the bedroom. We can have sex with anyone. Before it was limited, but now we're liberated. So this is the liberation that the Indians want. They want to follow the Westerners. But in this verse it said, there's so many difficulties. Apart from all the difficulties, now they got AIDS, which is a killer. And if you have many partners, that's dangerous. I was reading in the newspaper when the girls, they were chastity rings. I don't know exactly where they were, but the girls and boys, they were chastity rings. It means only when they get married will they have sex. So that was forbidden by the teacher. No, it's not allowed in our class. It seems like a good thing, chastity. That's what Prabhupada said is the wealth of the ladies, is the chastity. So, in any case, so back to the story. Who were the men with the guns? It's an allegory. So who are the men with the guns? Huh?
Son.
The son.
No,
sadhu. No, not the sadhu, the men with the guns, the villagers. You see, to really get into these stories, you have to know what each of the persons represent. They represent the karma kanda. See, they control the desires by regulating themselves, but they're not free of the desire. They're not pure devotees. So they regulate and they follow the karma kanda. So that's like taking the guns to shoot off the desires. They're afraid of the desires, but they defend themselves by using the karma kanda. So who is the pure devotee? This is the easiest one. Who is the pure devotee? Yeah, he's a pure devotee. And it's, and the wild animals are the material desires, so he controls by engaging all of them in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they are all chanting and dancing. So the karma kanda is, oh, we don't need to help the pure devotee because he has all his senses controlled by the devotional service, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this is our process of bhakti yoga, that we control our senses by engaging them in Krishna service. This is the ideal way of engaging our senses, of controlling them. When I was in Hong Kong on my way to LA, I had an association with Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. He was teaching in some Hong Kong university as a professor. So I asked him to read the Gita. So he read the verse from, I think it's the fifth chapter or third chapter, that the enemy is lust, and this is seated in the mind and in the intelligence. So in the first part, so the enemy, the Prabhupada addresses it as the Gita addresses it as the enemy, is his lust. So lust, we don't have to look far. It's seated in our mind and our intelligence. So, in the other yugas, even if you think of something lusty, you have to take the karma. In Kali Yuga, you only take the karma when you do it. Because thinking, well, I'm sure that sometimes in your life, you might have had a lusty desire come in your mind. Maybe. All the time. So, this is the problem in Kali Yuga. But the advantage is, we don't, unless we act on it, we don't suffer the reaction. So we need to be very careful to drive out these desires, these thoughts in our mind, to place them by chanting Hare Krishna. So if I like ideal, someone asks me, well, how do you control your mind? What if you can't? Like when I was a new devotee, my mind was all the time thinking of different things. So I read that Haridas Thakur, he would chant louder. So I chant louder, louder, Hare Krishna, another thought comes, Hare Krishna, another thought comes, Hare Krishna, Hare! And the screaming, I found that it was working. But then everyone went and complained to Prabhupada, this crazy doctor He's shouting Hare Krishna to top of his lungs in the temple. We can't sing, we can't hear each other. So he called it to him. And he said, why are you shouting Hare Krishna? So I told him that I read this, Haridas Thakur, he chants very loud, and so many thoughts come in my mind. So the Prabhupada, See, Prabhupada was very open. He was, but he, at the same time, he wanted to keep everything. At that time, there were only three temples, San Francisco, New York, and Montreal. I visited all the three temples. Now I cannot visit all the 500 temples. It's very difficult. He tells that you visit all the 500. Like I didn't. I visit Manaus or Mongolia or this Philippines. But he might have visited. But it's very hard to visit all the temples now. And then from LA, from San Francisco, they're going to open up LA. And from Montreal, they went and opened up Vancouver and Seattle and like this. But, so the Prabhupada, anyway, he excelled me. He said, well, you shouldn't chant in the temple because you're serving everybody. You go chant in the park, or next to the park of Mount Royal. Mount Royal. As Montreal means Mount Royal. So there's a park in the middle of the city, which is called the Mount Royal Park. So I was exiled to the park. There I chanted Hare Krishna. They were not haggards, they had a few squirrels. Two birds. So that was how I was dealing with. I read that, like if you read the book by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarachakra, Vaishnava K, where I, who is a Vaishnava? I wrote one commentary. So there, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he preaches to his mind. Mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? You're only thinking of this and that, the material desire of beautiful women, or you want to be in some solitary place, imitating Haridas Thakur. But you're all filled with material desires. You're filled with pratishta, your desire for name and fame is like the sukara vishta. It's like the stool of a pig. A pig eats stool. So a stool of pig is like a refined stool. Stool of stool. I had a very horrifying experience. I was under in India. I was under some bridge in the bushes at a nature call. I'm sorry to say this in a temple, but maybe I shouldn't say it. It's all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So no sooner did I fulfill my nature call, I heard this sound. Out from the bushes ran out a huge pig and pushed me over and ate my soul hot. Well, it scared some more out of me. I thought it was attacking me. It wasn't attacking me. It wasn't my stool. So, took the stool of the pig. I had a first-hand experience. Pigs eat stool. And a pig's stool, all we can imagine what that must be like. A stool of stool. Anyway, he said, your pratishtasa is like your desire for name and fame is like the stool of a pig. If you discharge the pure devotee, you get some appreciation anyway. But you don't try to get appreciation. Try to be a pure devotee, and automatically you'll be appreciated. That's that comes with it. But the devotee doesn't hanker for that. That just comes automatically. That's all right, but to desire to do something, to get name and fame, that is, he said, like the stool of the pig. So, like this, he was preaching tonight, that some new devotee asked me, you see, that what if even in peace of mind, and still the mind goes to the lusty desires? Then I said, well, there's another verse, another purport by Prabhupada, where he says, he said, then ignore your mind. Ignore it. Like, this is not me. This is my conditioning. This is, I don't want these things. I want Krishna consciousness. I don't want this illicit desires. So, because we can just, if we can't defeat them, I can't control it. We can ignore it, we can reject it. That no, this is not what I want. It's not me. This is some contamination left from my previous life. So somehow or another, we have to fight against the desires and the lust that's in the mind and in the intelligence. We need to engage ourselves in Krishna service. Now, Prabhupada, he says that, you see, to be a Krishna conscious grihastha, it's a totally different situation. It's not, you know, like we talk about anakulpam and all that. It's not the same thing. It's actually, they're dealing with their desires in the in a responsible way. In fact, in the Sanskar Dithika by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he describes the Grihastha Ashram as a responsible ashram. So they have to take a lot of responsibilities. I see a lot of Grihasthas in this New Dwarka, and they're all taking some responsibilities. I see some Brahmacharis too. Brahmacharis and Sannyasis, we have a little bit free of, we don't have all the responsibilities that Grihasthas have, but we have the responsibility to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So some people may be better to be Brahmachari, some people better for them to be Grihastha. Whatever they are, the idea is we engage always in our Krishna consciousness. And this is the way that we deal with the senses. So this is not the same as mentioned in this verse. This is a materialistic person who is engaged in trying to satisfy his desires, and he doesn't know about our Krishna consciousness at all. Sometimes there's a mistake where we categorize, we think it's some devotee is a Krishna conscious, is in Naya. Or actually, they're maybe very Krishna conscious, we don't know. We don't know about what their private life is. As a sannyasi, if you become a sannyasi, you have no private life. Our life is open book. We always got some secretaries around. So, but grihasthas, they have their private life. So, in one case, there was a round hunter, Kaliraj, and he was being taken in procession to get married. So he saw that Yashigram, he was taken by Polyquin. So his Polyquin of bears took a rest under one tree in Yashigram. They didn't know that this tree was in the ashram of Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya was, at that time, he was being visited by Narottamdas. So the two were discussing, look at this nice boy. He's going to get married. He should be a devotee of Krishna. Yeah, he should be engaged in Krishna service. Why is, you know, he think, you know, he's going on a grand procession and everything, but actually he should be Krishna conscious. So two are talking, and they are just seated under the same tree, so he could hear everything. And whatever they were saying, and they took him on, he was thinking about the whole journey. We are taking him to get married. Da, 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 da. So his marriage was just normal. He was a normal guy, a normal marriage. But and then go on the marriage day, you're treated like a prince. You're given a crown and horses, or in this case, he was taking on a palm queen. Somehow it's like the grand day for you. And that, to some extent, we call that tradition too. The wife wears a brand new sari, and sometimes the husband wears a turban. But he was thinking the whole way what these two sadhus said. So, Srinivas is right, was a grihastha. Narada Dasa Thakur was he was a brahmachari. He was I don't think he got married, but he was thinking the whole way, I should engage in Krishna service. No one ever told me that before. Why don't I engage in Krishna service? So then he went, he got married, but I want to go and talk to those sadhus. I want to find out what did they mean. So he went back to the ashram, and they preached to him Krishna consciousness. So he decided, I'll become a devotee. Now, he was wearing white, but he was married. But he never spent time with his wife. He went back. So, I forget, his guru was either Srinivasacharya or Narada, I forget who. Srinivas, yeah. And then, but he was the he was associate of Narada, Ramachandra Sangamaga, Narasimha Das. There's in one song that he wants association of Ramachandra. That same Ramachandra Kaviraj. So after some time, he got initiated, and then. But his guru said, well, you got married, you never spent any time with your wife. You should go home to your wife. And then come back. So he said, okay, I'll go for a day. So he went. The wife said, you see, you got something spiritual, something real. And I could have the enjoyment with you one day, but I want to know what you got from the guru. Please tell me about Krishna consciousness. So this wife was so advanced that he told her all about Krishna consciousness. She decided, I want to also render pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. At the end, she bowed down, and her cinder from her head touched his foot. So then he went back to the ashram. Srinivasacharya saw a cinder on his foot. What, you come here? You had some relation with your wife, and you didn't take a bath, and he was chasing. But then later, he realized his mistake, that what he speculated didn't happen. And he found out what actually happened. So then he begged an apology from his disciple. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. So, like this, there's many different pastimes that happen. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj's wife was also a pure devotee. I don't know after that if they lived together or not. Maybe. But in this first meeting after the marriage, she wanted to know about Krishna consciousness. That was her desire. I can't see what time it is.
25 minutes.
So,
10 is up? 8:30.
Oh, okay. So then, it was even Srinivasacharya, he had no specific desire to marry, but he was requested to be the Rajguru, the king of Vanavishnupur. So he was requested to be the Rajguru. He would have to be a Grihastha, because he would have to advise the king in his all aspects of his life, including his married life. So, unless he was a Grihastha, how could he advise the king? Although, like when the Grihastha would approach Prabhupada, he said, "Now I'm a sannyasi." Although he was a Grihastha, but he said, "Now I'm a sannyasi. Better you talk to yourself, senior Grihastha Vaishnava, about our family." So he didn't know what to do. Srinivasacharya didn't know what to do. So he went to Narahari Chakur, who was the last kind of associate left, the last disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his major associate. We sing in the evening kirtan. Kilanaradi adi kadi tamara tular. So this Narahari, he went to him and asked him, "What should I do? I didn't have any desire to get married, but I asked to be the Rajguru. And the Rajguru, I have to get married. What should I do?" So then Narahari said, "Be the Rajguru, get married. And this way, one whole kingdom will be under you, and you can guide the kingdom how to be Krishna conscious." In those days, whatever religion the king took, more or less everywhere else would take it. It's not like our president is, he can take whatever religion he wants, but nobody else takes that religion because he took it. But in the king time, in Malaysia, the king became a, he converted to Islam 600 years ago, Parameshwaram, to marry some Arabian princess. He fell in love with her. So the whole country became Islamic, except a few. So now all the Malays are following Islam. But it's all 600 years ago because one king changed his religion. So that was the system then. So that king became a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So the whole kingdom of Vankura, of Vanavishnupur, they all became devotees. They all became Vaishnavas. So at least that was the religion they followed. So Srinivasacharya, he got married. But his two wives, he got married two, at that time it was allowed. Their sisters, they were very Krishna conscious also. So there's so many stories. So Srinivasacharya, he established on Radha Madan Mohan Devi in Vishnupur, and then the eighth generation of king, who was 13th generation, they built a new temple and established Radha Krishna Devi. But now, there's nobody to worship those deities. The deity of the Srinivasacharya is still worshipped. But the other deities are all put together in the Rajvadi. And they're worshipped there by one pujari. One time, like 300 years ago, before the British came, just before the British came, there was one Bhaskar Pandit. He's actually a bandit. He had an army, and he was conquered these weak kings. The Mughal Empire was very weak at that time. So he conquered different kingdoms, and he looted them, and he became like the king. But so he was trying to conquer Vishnupur. So he came several times. Each time he was defeated. This time he amassed 10,000 soldiers, and he came, he was going to, and he specifically targeted Brahmins and attacked Brahmins and Vaishnavas. So that time the king of the Vishnupur, he says, okay, no one fight. We'll chant the whole night, get the blessing of Krishna, and then we'll defend in the morning. But in the middle of the night, see, because this Bhaskara Panda, he was a demon type guy. So he attacked in the night. He thought, okay, these foolish people, they're chanting Hare Krishna, I'll attack them. They'll defend their own left and arm. But the king heard, fall, 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 fall. The cannon blasting, blasting. He said, who's firing that cannon? He went out, and all of Bhaskara Panda's army was killed. Everyone dead. You can still find ancient coins there in the and the cannon is still there. These two cannons, they shot off like a machine gun. So they tried to find who was the one that used the cannon. They searched all over. They asked one old guy, who was it? He said, well, this is the Didi came out and Didi took the cannons under the arm and Didi was firing on the Didi. Yeah, he thought this old guy, crazy guy. So they went to the temple of the deity of Radha Manan Mohan, and they smelled like the deity room was filled with the smell of gunpowder. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. So if you want, you can still go to the Vishnupur and see the cannons. You can see the deities of the Radha Manan Mohan. There's more pastimes, but there's no time to think. So either fish your mind to control your these thoughts that come to the mind, or ignore the mind and reject these thoughts. But somehow don't succumb to them. This is the advice given here by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions? Yes, over here. Wait for the microphone.
Thank you very much for the class, Maharaj. My question is, what is the most important duty for a devotee towards his spiritual master? What is the most important duty for a devotee?
What is the most important duty for a devotee to his spiritual master? Well, it says there's two types of seva that we perform, the Vapu seva and the Vani seva. So Vapu seva, when the guru is present, cooking for him, washing his cloth, doing some personal seva, that's an opportunity we have. Otherwise, the Vani Seva is we carry out his order. Say orders that you do book distribution or you do deity worship, or if he gives any specific instruction. Usually for the service, it's delegated to the temple president, and he kind of gives out the service on behalf of the guru. If one is not able to do that service or doesn't like that service, they can talk to the temple president and they can talk to their guru, but the guru should talk to the president and discuss that all my disciples not happy doing this service, what to do, and see how they can work it out. Well, in ISKCON, to create, otherwise, you know, if everybody had like different orders from the guru, it'd create a lot of confusion. So usually they work through the temple president. only when it's like life and death of the disciple, they can and the present, you know, they can tell the disciple to do something. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, they should work through the guru, through the temple president. So, we do these two types of seva, the Vapu seva and the Vani seva. When the guru is no longer present, he goes back to Godhead or he's very far. And now everyone is close because of internet and we can communicate pretty easy. Otherwise, say that he's gone back to Godhead, then his Vani, his instructions, we take that as our order. So we try to carry that out. Now in the Prabhupada disciples, our guru is well met. So, what he's given is the books. And the books are actually the instruction for everybody. Not only us, but the other followers. So we try to carry out the instructions that Prabhupada left in his books that he gave personally. I had a great opportunity that he gave me a lot of personal instructions. Some disciples didn't get so many personal instructions. But nonetheless, the general instructions are there. Like me, he told, develop Mayapur, travel, restore the holy places, so many instructions. Expand the congregation. One time he told me, expand the propaganda unlimitedly. So I never fulfilled that one yet. I got a long way to go. He gave me such instructions that are, unfulfillable, but anyway, we try. So, but maybe we can hear from others what we have here, Pranam Swami, and we have our Savas Prabhu. What's the primary duty of the disciples?
Hear submissively, understand the instructions, and carry them out to the best one's ability.
What is there to add to all that? to execute with love and devotion. Out of love, serve the spiritual master.
Haribo! Okay. Are you satisfied? I can't see who gave or asked the question. Huh?
Yes.
What's your name? I can't see.
What's your name?
Janali. Any other question? Oh, did you bring any oil of nourishing in it? Okay, internet question.
Wants to know when a brahmachari devotee wants to take a vipassana, what are the steps he should take first?
When a brahmachari wants to take vihasa, you see, the idea of this class is that you're fighting to maintain our celibate life. So there's like the fire of the rising sun. So if one is given up to fight, if he thinks, better I get take your house alive, that's all right. But then he shouldn't write as a Shatran. He should change, he should approach the Guru, get the blessing, and change the white. And then, you know, as a Brahmachari wearing Shatran, he should be searching for a wife. And not the ideal situation. It said that Ravana's biggest aparat, he was a Rakshasa. So kidnapping a woman, that's part of his dharma. What do you want to call it, dharma? Our dharma. But his biggest offense was he dressed as a sannyasi to do it. So as a sannyasi, a Brahmachari, we don't want to double standard. So if someone is a Brahmachari and they want to take your house, that's all right. That's a decision everyone should make. You should turn in your saffron cloth and wear white. That's what I understand. Ravan is the sannyas minister, so.
I think he should sell the sannyas, the brahmachari cloth, so he can get some money for his grihastha ashram.
Very practical. Well, if Brahmachari wants to dye his cloth. So, is he satisfied? Is that what he wanted to know? Did you find? You found it? Oh, you need a Q-tip. It doesn't have the hole in it. Okay, thank you very much. Those who want machine oil, you can come and get. And a Q-tip.
Thank you very much, man.
Hare Krishna.
I missed Sunday, so that's why I'm first in line. I want my machine oil.
The breakfast is 7:04 to 10. So within 10 you should break your fast.
The third line for the clip on that. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
This is like the